This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to hour two of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. We'll be discussing how Matt Rhule plans to approach handling the roster limits and walk-ons. We're going to take a look, won't take long, but we're going to take a brief look at the 2026 Nebraska football, the current commits, the class, ranked 76 in the country. But as we know, there's been a lot of big names on campus. What does that mean? What do we project? What do we think? What do we know? What do we not know? Probably don't know a lot more than we do know. Just in general, but specifically about this topic, probably about the same thing as well. Jet Tamala, Dayton Raiola. Colorado only has two high school commits at this moment in time. Does that mean anything? Nope, because Deion's the head coach, and Deion's going to Deion. Also, I did think it was interesting. USC, I mentioned this to you right as the music hit and the glass shattered. By the way, that glass shattering, that was Dakota's original walk-up song for baseball.
Oh, that's right.
We had to change it because for whatever reason, you couldn't hear the glass. It would be like very quiet, and then the music would play. Well, that's the best freaking part of the song. So now her walk-up song is Miles on it. And so the boys will be in the dugout as she's walking up, and they'll like be singing Miles on it as walking up to the plate. So I thought this was interesting. USC chose the number one recruiting class in the country for 2026 at this very early point in time. 30 commits right now. 19 4-stars, 1 5-star, and 10 3-stars at this moment in time. 30 commits. Okay, A&M and Ohio State combined, who are number 2 and 3 in the country, have 34 combined. You keep on going down the list. If you add together, like, Miami and LSU, who have two of the best classes in the country, they have 23 combined. 23. USC by themselves has 30. What does that signal to you, Jake? Does that mean anything, the sheer amount of guys they have coming in? And again, they've got 19 4-stars, 1 5-star. I always take rankings and recruiting rankings with a grain of salt, but they do have some value. There is some connection to winning games and obviously talent acquisition. But what does that mean to you when one team has 30 and the number 2 team in the country as far as recruiting rankings right now is 18, number 3 has 16? Nebraska, for perspective, okay, and you brought up a good point during the break when we were chatting, how much is going to be portal heavy versus high school class heavy, because every program is different. Nebraska currently has 5 at this moment in time. All right, obviously, they're still recruiting a lot of guys, and they're taking a big bat to the plate, swinging for the fences, and hopefully they can get some of these guys that they perceive to be some of the best players across the country to commit between now and December, a lot of time between now and then. But what's that mean to you when you hear USC has freaking 30 commits right now?
It's fascinating because, you know, that's Lincoln Riley's not exactly doing great out there. He's got an incredibly huge buyout. There's been reports that if he didn't have that huge buyout, they might already kind of be moving him along. But, you know, that buyout does stand there. And so it's just kind of fascinating to see they're coming off the back-to-back years that weren't too successful, that they could still have some very successful recruiting classes. It's not just by how many people are in there, like you're saying, that certainly helps at this point. But 19 4-stars. I don't know if Nebraska's had a class with 19 4-stars. So that is quite an impressive class that they've got put together, particularly where, and it's again, all of it's so fascinating because you juxtapose that to Colorado having 2 guys right now, and it's just there's just more options. There's more, you know, how much do we weigh high school recruiting? If you're a GM, yes, a GM in college sports right now, and you're trying to build the 2027 roster. And they are actively thinking about that sort of thing. You know, how many 16-year-olds are you looking at compared to, you know, 18-year-olds that might not be getting a whole lot of playing time, 19-year-olds that might not be getting a whole lot of playing time in current roster. So the whole thing is just, it's fascinating. You can't just take these numbers for what we once did, which was always kind of silly, I suppose, because it's tough. You know, I always think it's funny when people say, well, these recruiting rankings, they don't matter. They don't know. These guys are not, you know, in the game. They don't know. You do realize that actual coaches recruit classes and half of them don't work out either. Like that's pretty much how it goes. So we shouldn't expect Rivals or 24/7 to be perfect here. And so it was never a perfect thing, but It just there's so much more context to the story in modern day college football than just the ranking straight up now.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I do think the recruiting rankings accuracy is better than when I came out, so to speak, 20 or so years ago. I do think it's more accurate. I also think, to your point, every coach is different. Every program is different. Dion doesn't give two cents to this side of a monkey's rear end about recruiting high school kids. He does not care about development. I don't mean this as a slam. It just is what it is. He doesn't care about development. He doesn't care about forming relationships. He's saying, come to me. You come find me if you're a high school kid. And then he wants the transfer portal. Like, he's a transfer portal freaking guy. That's his emphasis. He wants guys who are going to come in and ready to play and ready to contribute right here and right now. Like, 99% of the time, that is what he is going to emphasize. Other programs might be different. I can tell you right now, I've got a kid looking into baseball, and I just had a conversation with someone the other day who played at Nebraska, whose son has gone through the recruiting thing like 10 years ago, just went through it a couple of years ago. And he's like, hey, man, at these high school big-time showcases, there's far less college coaches than there used to be. And he said, because a lot of these coaches are now looking at the portal. They're looking at the portal first in some cases, not in every case. And so the emphasis has been de-emphasized in a lot of cases when it comes to high school recruiting. So we'll see what happens. And again, like Nebraska, there's more of an emphasis on the transfer portal, as we know, than when Matt Rhule first got here. Okay, that's pretty clear. Had the number 5 transfer portal class in the entire country last year, number 20 high school class last year as well. Going forward, they are not emphasizing in-state recruits as much. They are emphasizing who they just perceive to be the best players in the country, regardless of geographic location. Of the top 15 prospects in Nebraska for the class of 2026, 14 are now committed to FBS programs. Omaha North DB Darian Jones is the last name on the board. He visits Iowa this weekend. There are currently 13 Power 4 recruits in Nebraska for 2026. One of the other things, I just thought this was interesting because I played against his dad every day in practice. We were teammates and we went against each other every day in practice. And now he's a big offensive lineman out of Millard North, but offensive lineman Matt Erickson went to Ohio State's camp recently. He's a 2027 recruit. All right, and obviously, I've said a million times, prior to Matt Rhule, I would always emphasize Nebraska first and go outside after that. But I've also said a coach has to do what they believe in. Like, a coach has to be who they are. If you try to hire a coach and then tell him what to do, why'd you hire that coach to begin with, okay? So for me, Matt Rhule's got to do what he believes is best, and I do believe they're taking a quality over quantity approach. So when I say USC has 30, I'm like, holy crap, that's just a large class. Regardless of emphasis, regardless of year, regardless of anything, that's a large class, okay? But I think Matt Rhule, when it comes to high school recruiting, is taking a quality over quantity approach. And then I think there's a much more of an emphasis on the transfer portal when it comes to Nebraska. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that appears to be the situation. And again, now if you're kind of looking at it, is you're like Dion does, he doesn't just go to the portal for no reason. And he's building teams year by year, and he's saying, can this guy help me out immediately? Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's still some positions where, like, yeah, I mean, if you need a guy to play guard this year, then you go ahead and get a guard in the transfer portal. But there's still some positions that it just takes some time, you know, especially along those front lines, that you're going to want to develop them. And so it's interesting just to see the difference in approach there from these different folks. It's also interesting to see Matt Rhule day one at Nebraska compared to Matt Rhule now, right?
It's very different.
And how much would you rather have a guy that's just going to say, this is my plan, we're going to stick to my plan, and my plan will work. And, you know, regardless of what's kind of happening around him, that's what they're going to do. Or do you like somebody that's more, okay, this isn't working as much. College football's changing. We're going to do this. We're going to try this out. If you notice, Matt Rhule likes to kind of get ahead of things, try to be maybe one of the first to kind of think of kind of maneuvers to make. And so it's kind of fascinating because we're going into year 3. You got a different offensive coordinator than you started with, a different defensive coordinator than you started with, and a different recruiting plan. Then you started with, again, you know, it appears from the outside, and also he's kind of said it at these press conferences. So, you know, it's different. And then the other thing is with this in-state recruiting thing is that I think for a year, you know, on a year-by-year basis, I think it makes sense, right? You go out there, get guys that can play right away on your team. So maybe less of an emphasis on in-state recruiting. But for program, I'm just wondering if it's going to hurt your connection with high school coaches in Omaha, that sort of thing, when you're not targeting these guys. By the way, Maurice Pierre-Fye II, another kid out of Nebraska, just committed to Washington State the other day. We're seeing Northwestern's got a kid. Missouri's got a kid. So it's not just Illinois and Iowa State who have made a big hate. Now we know Alabama's got Jets. So there's just a lot of talent going out there. And I wonder, because that's happened before in football and especially in basketball, where there feels to be a disconnect between the Omaha schools and whatever those connections are and the University of Nebraska.
That you just laid out probably my single biggest trepidation. You just literally laid it out. Again, I've said it for years, and there were times when I came under fire for this. Well, they have to be good at football. No crap, genius. Like, emphasize recruiting in Nebraska first, but they have to be good football players. Like, I'm not just saying recruit Nebraska kids to recruit Nebraska kids. You got to recruit good football players, but I'd always start in Nebraska. I've also said a coach has to be who they are. Okay, I've gone through that. This is what Matt Rhule wants to do. I support that. If you're going to hire a coach, let him be who he is. This is what he wants to do. Because Matt Rhule, you're right, he has completely changed how he approaches multiple things from day one Matt Rhule to Matt Rhule this morning as he woke up. He is a different approach to multiple different things. And to answer your question, no, I don't want square peg round hole coach. I don't want the coach that says, this is what we're going to do no matter what. No. I don't want that coach. I want the coach that looks in the mirror, that's honest, that's willing to make the changes, and is willing to evolve with the game of football, especially right now. Good Lord. You have to evolve with whatever college football is today versus tomorrow versus 3 days from now. It could be a completely different game. I'm exaggerating, but only a little. And that's what Matt Rhule's doing. My one trepidation, my one hesitation is, does it somehow, people are sensitive, man. And I'm not saying I'm not sensitive sometimes. It depends on the subject. What I'm saying is people are sensitive. Does it somehow create maybe a negative perception or not fond feelings if players in state, like we're talking about, what did I just say? 15 prospects in Nebraska for the 2026 class are now committed to FBS programs. 13 are Power Four recruits. There's one still out there, Omaha North defensive back Darian Jones. Like, if kids in schools feel like they're being overlooked, they're being snubbed, they're what, for whatever reason, because perception, whether it is reality, becomes reality in people's minds based on how they perceive things. If they perceive this from the university, is that something that can hurt us down the road potentially? Like, what if there is a number one recruit safety out of Omaha West Side or Central or whatever? 5 years from now, and he's like, no, you didn't take this guy. You didn't take this guy. Like,
huge news, Wayfair shoppers. You still have time to score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Ship fast and easy, just in time for the holidays. Shop Wayfair Cyber Week now through December 7th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I don't know. Is that something that could hurt us down the road? Am I overthinking this? What are your thoughts on this? I actually want to hear people's thoughts on this on the text line. Let us know. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Because I think it's a valid concern. Like, what are your thoughts on this as we await to hear from the texters?
I think it's something that needs to be thought of. Again, a lot of these guys too coming out of Omaha, so you particularly think of that Omaha connection. And as you laid it out there, it's kind of funny you said, you know, safety, because it's Xavier Watts. That just kind of happened. Now, I don't know if that's from disconnect from earlier. He was a guy that I understood never, you know, there are some people here that aren't properly raised, like you raised your children, that aren't Husker fans. And I from what I've read is he wasn't necessarily a Husker fan growing up. Also heard that Scott Frost didn't do the best job of recruiting him. That's just what I kind of think is potentially a long-term problem that you could possibly see here at a time, by the way, when it appears Nebraska high school football is kind of doing well. And so I think this is a bigger gamble than maybe it would have been. You know, there's certain classes that pop up and do well, but you say like 15 years ago or whatever, it just feels like there's more prospects coming out of the state. So it's I get it. Like the whole thing about Matt Rhule's, process, the way he's going about this, the plan, like you get it. You can see the benefits that could come out of it, but there's always unintended consequences or just consequences that you know that you're going to go up against. And I think that is one that could become very real. Now, Nebraska wins out of it. I think that's the gamble they're making, is we think we have a plan to start winning. And then you can kind of get more back into the point where kids are growing up Husker fans because they're going to see relevant games down at Memorial Stadium, or everybody's watching it in town.
Now, Matt Rhule has said they're going after the right players as opposed to specifically the right recruits. In other words, just because you're recruited or ranked highly as a recruit, do you match what they want to do from your talent, from your personality, from your attitude, work ethic, player approach, okay, to being a good football player? They're going after the right players, not just per se the right highly ranked recruits. He has said that as well. And again, it's one of those things where the coach has to do what he believes in, and I'm going to support him. And if it doesn't work, I will say, hey, the hire was wrong. And I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm not saying Matt Rhule's the wrong hire. I'm just saying, if I'm a Florida Gator fan and my head coach has this approach, I'm going to say, you know, he's got to be who he is. And if it doesn't work, the next guy comes in, he has to be who he is, because he has to build it the way he believes in it. And that's what I'm saying. So it's interesting. And people might laugh at this. I'm coaching the Twins' third grade team in basketball. And it's interesting because they're doing good and that's great and all that. But there are people who want to join the team. And there are people who want to join the team. You can laugh if it's U Sports. Like, this is a team that people are like, we want to keep it together for a long time. So I've got a mindset of, okay, this isn't a 1 or 2 year thing. In people's minds, this is like, hey, we want to stay together all the way, possibly up to high school, maybe through high school. Who knows what happens? There's a lot of families who love basketball on this team. And so I've got a long-term approach. There are people who are wanting to get on this team. I'll just be honest with you right now. I don't care if it's third grade, eighth grade, or high school. I'm not just looking at them from, you know, what can you do on the court? What can you become one day? You know, I'm looking at it from, what's the family like? Like, are you dramatic people? Are you people who are going to show up? Are you going to show up to pregame warmups on time? Are you going to cause problems? And there are some families I've told no to. Their daughter is good enough to be on the team. But I'm just like, when you talk about right recruit, and this is weird because I know it's third grade girls basketball, but if you look and project down the road, possibly just a fun experience and creating a fun experience for these girls, you know, however good or not they are on the basketball court, I want a fun experience. And if the team's going to stay together, you got to be all encompassing. It's not just the right recruit, it's the right people. And that's what Matt Rhule's talking about from an obviously Division I Big Ten collegiate football perspective, because that's part of the conversation as well. And sometimes you might look at what somebody can do physically and be like, yeah, but the whole package that you're going to bring may not be what we're looking for. And to be honest with you, I've coached football, basketball, baseball, softball for years. So I've done it in the past. And one of the hardest things to do is build something over time. And so when you're keeping that in mind, whether it's a high school football coach, a college football coach, a basketball coach, a baseball, softball coach, you have to look at everything, not just the talent. Because there's been people who are very, very talented in the past. Jacob's football team went down to Florida and was one play away from winning a national title in the eighth grade. And I should be blunt, I kicked the quarterback off the team the year before because they were a pain in the butt. The dad was nuts. The son was a young man, but he wasn't going to improve his approach to things, because I looked at the dad and I said, you're freaking nuts. Your son is learning what you're doing. Your drama, best player on the team, probably the most important player on the team because he was our leading tackler, the quarterback. And I said, you've got to go. We became less talented. We also became better immediately. Like, we don't make it to Florida with them on the team. We weren't as talented without them, but we were a better as a team and more cohesive unit. So I think that's kind of what Matt Rhule's getting at. I hope that kind of makes sense. All right, you look at this class real quickly so far. All right, Devania Bonwell Witt, butchered that name. I apologize, my man. Wide receiver. Okay. Let me see here a little bit more information. 6'1", 190. Okay. We've got Hayden Ainsworth, interior offensive lineman, 6'5", 305. You got Jace Reynolds, linebacker, 6'2", 206. You look at Dayton Raiola, you know, the whole Dayton versus Jet thing. That's purely, you look at going to Alabama, and you look at how they're each rated as recruits and whatnot. Matt Rhule is looking at something a little bit differently beyond just the recruiting rankings that clearly maybe we're not privy to, okay? And so we'll see how that plays out. Ultimately, that works out or it doesn't, because that is something that's going to be followed by people as the years unfold. Rex Waterman, offensive tackle, 6'5", 295. So that's where we're at right now. Again, I'm curious to see how this all unfolds. I think that's 7-on-7, one-of-a-kind tournament, never been done before quite like that. Here in Lincoln a week or two ago, the battle at the Boneyard, I think over time we could see guys commit and commit to Nebraska from that. Just getting the chance to get them into Lincoln is over half the battle. Once they're here, Most guys freaking love it. All right. Let's see. That went longer than I thought it would. It always does. Jake, why do you talk so much?
I'm not sure.
I love the one texter was like, do you think your dad is too loud to the Twins? And then they're like, yeah, he yells to wake us up in the morning. I'm like, wait, context here. All right, real quickly, you go through this real quick. Matt Rhule, how he plans to handle the walk-on situation, okay, because they're going to grandfather in walk-ons for right now. There will eventually be a 105 limit, okay? We got about 2 minutes before break. Do you want to kind of break that down real quick there, Jake? Are you good on that?
Maybe we should go on the other side of the break just so I can collect my thoughts. But there is a few thoughts off the text line I really wanted to get to real quick here because I thought they're kind of interesting. So Derek in a car says, I think you're overthinking this. I'd rather have coaches and strength staff who can develop the talent above any recruiting preference. Good coaches equals success. And I think that that's kind of, you know, that's huge, right? Obviously, more so than recruiting is developing. And that's something that Nebraska just has failed to do over the last decade. They've always had top 25 classes. Some of them are more exciting. Some of them are 18th, 15th. Some of them are 24th, 25th. But they don't finish 25th in the nation. They're not finishing with winning records. So, again, the development, I think, is key. So I think that's a good point. And then 5637 says, communication is key with the current state of recruiting. The combination of Nebraska taking a small high school class while the state of Nebraska has a large number of prospects is bad timing. The roster limit is forcing the Huskers to take a smaller class this year. And if they're communicating with the high school coaches and prospects in state, there should be some level of understanding. Do you think there's going to be a little bit more level of understanding, or do you think that that's, you know, one way or the other going to be hurt feelings?
I think that that was a great comment in general. Communication is huge. A lot of times, miscommunication or lack of communication just in life can create drama, where had there just been simple communication, that drama need not exist. So I hope that they're communicating well. As long as that's happening, that will alleviate a lot of the issues. I think you made a great point about the roster limits creating some challenges as well, as far as the amount of players that we can bring in. As far as the first comment, like, if you've listened to my show over the past over a decade now, whatever show I've done over the past few years, like, you got to understand, I've been the guy a million times that says, I don't care who you are when you walk through the doors, what you do once you're in the building. And I've taken heat for that for people who are all about recruiting rankings. Like, I was barely a 3-star. Nebraska told me I wasn't good enough when they first talked to me. Okay. And one of the proudest things that I, in my basement, is the Lifter of the Year award. I am all about evaluating the individual, evaluating the situation, and then developing that player. Like, that is me. That has always been my emphasis. Okay. So to be clear, that is where I come from. But there's a certain amount of, I'll never forget when Matt Rhule said, hey, the better the player is, the better coach I tend to be. In other words, it's talent acquisition is a huge deal as well. And then developing that talent once it gets in is a big deal too. I'm big on development. I think it's just more challenging to do with the way college football is right now, transfer portal and everything else as well. So real brief, let's do the take on the walk-ons, and then we'll go to break real quick. Matt Rhule kind of talks about how Nebraska will approach walk-ons after roster limits take place. Now, throughout Nebraska's history, as we all know, Nebraska may be the most storied walk-on tradition in all of college football, very possibly. As we know, roster limits are changing things in college athletics, all right? There will be a number of 105 per football teams. This creates uncertainty, obviously, around the future of walk-ons. And Matt Rhule, who a former walk-on of Penn State, you know, is not a fan of the roster limits, so to speak. Not a fan of, you know, if you want to, per se, legislating walk-ons out of college football. Okay. Now that the House versus NCAA settlement has approval, roster limits will be on the way. Rhule weighed in on the impact it can have on the sport and confirm Nebraska will still have a way to carry walk-ons and maintain that proud tradition. And I quote, I know people here in Nebraska, we don't love the fact that we can't carry the larger roster, which has been a part of our culture. All right, but we won't get rid of it, talking about the walk-on program altogether. We'll still take some walk-ons. It'll be maybe a little bit harder. But I hope these kids that would have walked on here, now that they're at other schools in the Dakotas, the FCS schools in the Midwest, and really can help elevate that level of football, end quote. All right. So I think that was, here's another quote before I move on. And I quote, I don't love the roster limit. I think they're always looking for ways to create parity that aren't really real. I would much rather just say, hey, this is the amount of guys that can dress on game day, but that was the rule. We're going to stick with it. On a positive side, I should say this is going to help FCS teams. This is kind of going to push I don't have a better way to put this, kind of push the talent down, so to speak. So some players who would have been maybe a power four programs go to G5, G5 kids go to FCS and et cetera. Eventually, you're going to run out of kids that don't have a place to go down to, and then you limit the amount of kids playing college football to a certain degree. But they are going to have walk-ons. It's going to be harder to do. The roster limit will kick in at 105. They're going to have less of them, obviously, with some of these challenges. The current walk-ons will be grandfathered in. Is that what you told me?
Yeah.
Okay. And then gradually over time, you know, that grandfathering wears out a little bit, or the time expires on that, and then you get to the 105 roster limits. But I like the way Rule's approaching it. He's not a big fan of it. Roster limits, not having as many walk-ons. It's a proud tradition here at Nebraska. It's not going to completely go away. It's just going to be less in number and harder to do with the ever-changing landscape of college football. What are your final thoughts on this before we head to break, Jake?
Yeah, it's just interesting. Obviously, from there, if you're going to have 105 roster limits, if you're still going to try to pay ode to the tradition of the walk-ons, is that you would, at that point, once they're all grandfathered out or whatever, is that maybe you have 100 scholarship players and 5 walk-ons. I don't know if you do that just to do it, just say you have walk-ons. So I'm interested to see if that kind of changes over time as well. But again, there's always these stories. I mean, you talk about the proud tradition. Jacob Bauer, now linebacker at Nebraska, was a walk-on and is now buying for playing, you know, a lot of playing time this upcoming year. So the stories continue to roll out of the walk-on program. So that's why a lot of people think, you know, rather unfortunate that it might come to an end soon.
Dude, not just a walk-on, but like a guy who was going to play rugby in college if it didn't work out in football. So like a phenomenal story. All right. Kind of like, what was it? Was it Damian Jackson, the Navy SEAL a few years ago? Yeah, Did I get that name correct? Yeah. Like running out with the tunnel with the American flag. Like, that was freaking awesome type stuff. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll be joined by Husker legend Jordan Westerkamp. Don't go anywhere. We shall return.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.